Welcome to Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman. Today, Pastor Huffman will be sharing a message with biblical truths that will help establish you in your relationship with Jesus, build your life upon the Word of God, and empower you by the Holy Spirit to live victoriously. And now, here is Pastor Daryl Huffman.
Folks, it's hard to survive as a Christian in the dry season. Are you hearing me? Because you see, we're never supposed to just be in the dry season all the time. That's why the prophet in the Old Testament said, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by my spirit you're going to see these things happen. And being in the Spirit means I'm flowing in the rainy season of God. How do I get the rainy season of God to come? I need to pray. I got to seek God. I've got to cry out to the Lord for His help during this time. Now, quickly, go back over to Hosea. I want you to see something here in Hosea, the fifth chapter. I believe this will help you. How do I seek God? How do I pray to God? How do I wait upon the Lord? Well, in Hosea chapter 5, Hosea shows us a dry season. And Hosea chapter 5 and 6 tells us why there's a dry season. Because they had turned from God, did their own thing, pursued the world, and gotten worldly. And so what does God say in verse 15 of chapter 5? He says, I will return to my place on high until they acknowledge their offense and feel their guilt and seek my face. In their affliction, when it gets bad enough, and in their distress, when it is really bad, they'll seek me. They'll inquire for me. They'll require me earnestly. You know what he's saying? He's saying, if you're smart and you're so dehydrated, you don't know if you can make it through the rest of the day spiritually, and everything around you is so dry, and things are dying, and the predators are eating up everybody. And your mouth is full of dust, and the water you are drinking is dirty because it's so low. He says, in that time, the smart person will seek me. Those who are my covenant people, surely at that time, he says, they'll acknowledge their offense. In other words, he's saying, the first thing you do, you say, God, this isn't your fault, because you spoke to us in Acts chapter 2 through the Apostle Peter that it was your will in these last days to pour out your Spirit upon all of us. Amen. So you're not the problem. It must be us. Amen. You ever read 2 Chronicles 7:14? You ever read that one? It doesn't say, if the politicians, if the government officials, if those that are over the money markets, if those who are handling the stock market, if those are out here, you know, that are in business. No, he says, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways and seek my face, then I will hear from heaven, forgive their sins, and heal the land. What's he saying? It starts with us. Amen. We're the ones who are to bring God's normal into the abnormal that's the world. Amen. Amen. And so God says, if you're in a place of affliction, get serious and humble yourself and be sincere about it and say, God, I didn't want to be, but I've been a part of the problem. Amen. And I ask you to forgive me, and I ask you to help me to turn me around, and Lord, send a spirit of repentance and restoration upon the church, and help all of us repent and turn around and cry out to you with all of our heart and seek you and cry out of you and realize of necessity we need you. How many of you know that it's a necessity now? It isn't just a luxury. It's of a necessity we need the outpouring of the Holy Ghost right now. It's a necessary thing. Amen. It's like when Jesus was teaching them in Luke chapter 24, after he appeared to the disciples, he said, it was necessary that the Son of Man suffer. It was necessary. In other words, he's saying, these things I did was necessary to get you to a place where the power of God could come into your life. Well, I'm going to tell you something, folks. It is necessary for us to repent, cry out to God, and seek Him with all of our heart, and ask Him to pour His Spirit out upon us and come visit us again. Amen. It's not just a luxury anymore. It's a necessity. Hallelujah. And look what he says. Here's in chapter 6, verse 1. He says this. He says, here's what you say. Come and let us return to the Lord. Everybody, we ought to be praying for believers everywhere to return to the Lord. See, you can't return to him if you wasn't with him. So he's not praying for sinners to get saved here. He's praying for the church to return to the Lord. Are you hearing me? I can't return to your house if I've never been to your house. Amen. So he's talking to people that have been with him. Let us return to the Lord, for he is torn, so that he may heal his Lord. Only you can heal the rip that's in our lives. He is stricken so that he may bind us up. Lord, only you can correct and cause us to be healed and whole in our walk. After 2 days, he will revive us. I know he's talking about certain things prophetically, but let's bring it into what we're praying. What's the first thing we're asking God to do? Revive us, quicken us, and give us life. That should be the first thing. God, help us return to you. And Lord, revive us. Bring revival to us, Lord. And on the third day, he will raise us up that we may live before him. And Lord, just don't send revival. Make it a lasting experience that will cause us to not just get revived, but we'll live for you now. Amen. See, we're not praying for a temporary thing. We're praying for a move of God that's going to just go on and on and on and on and on until generations are touched by it. Praise God. See, don't think small. Well, I'm believing God, we're going to have a great revival right here in our city. Why don't we pray for a great revival that's going to affect the nation and the nations of the world? Amen. Why don't we pray for another Azusa Street revival? That revival in the early 1900s changed the world and brought the Pentecost message to the nations. Hallelujah. Why don't we get back to some of those folks in the 60s that got sick and tired of being sick and tired all the time in religious churches and got before God and began to cry out, and the Holy Ghost began to fall. And all of a sudden, God said, you know what? I'm not bound by a Catholic church. I can go in there and get people filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not bound by a Baptist church. I can go in there and get people filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm not bound by a Methodist church. I'm going to go in there and get some more people filled with the Holy Ghost. In fact, I'm not bound by the Episcopalians. I'm going to go over and get some of them. And I'm even going to be able to do this. I'm going to get some of the Pentecostals filled. Hallelujah. And he revived, and all of a sudden that revival caused for many years great moves of God with people's lives changed and people living for them. My experience with the Holy Spirit came out of that charismatic renewal back in the 70s, praise God. And see, we need to see these things. And in verse 3, he says this, yes, let us know and recognize and be acquainted with and understand him. God, help us to know you and recognize you and be acquainted with you and understand how you work. Lord, let us be zealous to know you. I mean, put some zeal back into us, Lord, that we're fanatic about wanting to know you. Help us to appreciate and give heed to you, Lord, and to cherish you. And every day, cherish the fact that Jesus, you are my Lord, and I'm saved, and I'm going to heaven someday. Hallelujah. And I'm going to live like it, praise God. Not only am I going to cherish you, I'm going to understand that you're going forth as prepared and certain as the dawn. Lord, it's your will. It's a certain. You've already said it. This is what you want done. So what I need to do, I need to pray that you will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. Lord, I'm praying for you to come to us and bring the rain and bring us into a rainy season unto the Lord. Quickly, look in Joel chapter 2. Verse 12, I'll read it to you. Listen to what Joel says. Before he ever talks about the prophecy that Peter preached, listen to what Joel, and this is the Amplified. He says, therefore also now says the Lord, turn and keep coming to me with all your heart. Notice that just don't come, but keep coming to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning, until every hindrance is removed and the broken fellowship is restored. Woo, hallelujah. Just keep coming till change takes place. Lives are changed and broken fellowship is restored and things that have hindered people are taken out and the blinders are removed and their lives, they can see it. Hallelujah. Amen. And God is moving. And God is blessing. And God is there in our midst. He says, just come to him with all your heart. Come to him sincerely. Come to him out of a, Lord, I gotta have this. I'm not just praying to make up some time. God, I'm committing myself to this. Amen. Why is this so important? Because we're going to be persecuted just like they were in the book of Acts. And there's going to be struggles. The enemy's going to come at us. Are you hearing me? Look in Acts chapter 4, and we're going to close this and take a moment and pray. But I want you to look here. In Acts chapter 2, they get filled with the Holy Spirit. Acts chapter 3, Peter and John go to prayer and get a man healed on the way to prayer. Most churches can't get a person healed after prayer. Help us, Jesus. Amen. But they've been, you know, Peter and John have gone to prayer. And they get this, and in the fourth chapter, they get thrown in jail, and then they get brought before the religious folks. You know what I'm saying? And then they're going to get questioned, and they all know there's a miracle, but let's pick it up in Acts 4:17. Listen to what the religious folks do. Does this sound a little bit like today? But in order that they may not spread further among the people and the nations, let us warn and forbid them and with a stern threat to speak any more to anyone in this name or about this person. Amen. We're not going to have that kind of talk. We don't agree with it, and we're going to shut you down. We're going to keep you from saying what you need to say. You don't think it's coming? Let me tell you what, folks, whenever they try to pass rules in our Congress that you can't say mom, dad, son, and daughter, and grandma, and grandpa anymore, you better get ready. Okay? It's not so much different now than it was a couple thousand years ago. All right, hear me. You better hear me. And if you're mad, you better forgive and repent and get right back in there with me again. Amen? Because the church is going to come under fire. We're getting closer to the end. And the Lord tells us all of this stuff. And we better have ourselves ready. Are you listening to me? And I'm not talking about getting persecuted by Democrats or Republicans or this one or that. I'm talking about the world is out to shut the church's mouth and keep us from doing what we're called to do. So what are we going to do? These were religious people trying to shut down Peter and John. Don't talk anymore. We don't want to hear that anymore. Okay? Verse 18. So they summoned them and imperatively instructed them not to converse in any way or teach at all or about the name of Jesus. You can't preach against sin. That's a hate crime. You can't call certain things out. That's wrong. You can't preach this. You can't be out there so absolute that you got to tell. After all religions are good and all religions are heading towards God. No, all religions are heading towards hell. Only Jesus Christ is heading towards God. Okay? Jesus didn't say, I'm one of the ways. He said, I am the way. Are you hearing me? And we better get that down. We better get this real good. Because you see, now Peter and John, they are faced with a decision. Do I compromise and let the world determine the new normal of the church? Or do I hook up with what God said on the day of Pentecost is the new normal for the church?
That concludes today's message. We hope that you have enjoyed listening to the broadcast and that you've been encouraged, challenged, and strengthened by today's word. To receive your copy of today's message, visit us online at darylhuffman.org and click the link This Week on Radio. You can also order by calling us at 304-733-4423. Once again, that's 304-733-4423. To order by mail, just write to us at Daryl Huffman Ministries, P.O. Box 940, Huntington, West Virginia, 25712. Thanks again for listening to today's message. Faith That Overcomes is made possible by New Life Team Partners and Daryl Huffman Ministries. For more information on becoming a partner with this ministry, visit us at darylhuffman.org and click the partner link or call 304-733-4423. Once again, thank you for joining us today on Faith That Overcomes with Dr. Daryl Huffman.